Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
There's power in your name. There's power in your word. Thank you for sending forth your light and your truth towards us. We are grateful. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you because it's the reason why we can't be here. Who are we that you should be mindful of us? As you send your word to us and heal our sicknesses and deliver us from our destructions. Lord, we are grateful to you. Lord, I yield myself to you. Let your word come forth in the name of Jesus. And for everything I prayed and I asked that you do this morning, Lord, you will perfect all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We exalt you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. My friend, Pastor Shola, is not here, but he should be here in the evening. He had to go to work. Praise God. In the evening, you know Ogi now. We measure revelations in Ogi, so don't worry, you will soon meet Ogi. Praise God, if you have not met him before. Hallelujah. And now the priesthood is the theme of this meeting, and really, Pastor said too many things yesterday evening that I can hardly. Thank God he came and summarized this morning. I was trying to be sincere with myself as to try and summarize what he said. It was difficult for me to summarize because he said so many things. I don't know if you are on the same page with me. He said so many things, it was quite difficult to what? Summarize. Hallelujah. And that tells us that this team is very big, is very broad. But we are going to take it from points that the Holy Spirit will help us to see. The Bible says that we know in parts, and we what? We prophesy in parts. Praise the Lord. I must read from Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and what? And sacrifices for sins. Verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Praise the Lord. Go back to 1. For every high priest taken among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and what? And sacrifices. Now, if you go through the book of Leviticus, that tells us the rudiments of the Aaronic priesthood, we are going to discover that there are many sacrifices and gifts written in that book. And of course, like Daddy said yesterday, the men that wrote these books were not writing from the perspective of the New Testament. They were writing on the New Testament, but they were taking their cues from where? From the Old, because they did not have a Bible like you and I have a Bible. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes,
alright. So they were writing from they taking their cues from the Old. And that was where this phrase, both gifts and what? Sacrifices for sins. And that's why I'm going to take it this morning. There were many gifts and many sacrifices, but there was one of those sacrifices. Just one of it. And that is sacrifices for sins. And that's where I'm going to be taking this issue of priesthood from. Praise God. Sacrifices for what? For sins. Sacrifices for sins. There were kinds of sacrifices. There was the what kind of offerings did we have? You had the peace offerings. You had sin offering was one. You had the wave offering, and all those offerings you come and do for Thanksgiving and all that. And they had the different kinds of animals you should bring. For some, you bring a lamb, a goat of 1 year, a lamb of, 1 year of age and all that. But there was one particular one, which is that was made for sins. And there was one peculiar thing about the sacrifices for sins. That's when you don't eat it. Praise God. You don't eat it. And it is burnt. After killing the animal, you take it outside. You don't eat it. There are some sacrifices like that. After you have taken the important organs, the fat on the kidney, and all that, and you give it to God. As a matter of fact, the fat of those animals is your tithe. But we are not going to be talking about that today. The fat is the best part of the animal. It's your tithe. I don't know. I don't want to start a Facebook argument here. But it's your tithe. Just go study. You discover that when God was asking them to remove the fat around, above the kidney and around the liver and all that, it is the best part. And that's when you look at animals. The cow, for example. The cow has a hump on his back, and that hump is fat. And during the rains, when they are getting grass to eat, you find that their hump comes out very well. It's a storage. As far as God is concerned, your fat is a tithe. In fact, somewhere in Deuteronomy chapter 18, English translation gave us a lot of problem. We was telling them to give the best part of their offering. That thing they call best part. The real interpretation, the best part is tithe. Maybe some other day, if God gives us grace, we are going to go into that. But people who say tithe and tithe and tithe, let's leave them. That's not my focus for this morning. This is where I'm picking it from. So, where did sin actually come into the picture? Is this priesthood all about offering sin, sacrifices for sins? What is this our priesthood? Because we may be locked into a mode to believe that what all that Christ is doing is that he's interceding on your behalf on the platform of sin. But really, the sin sacrifice in the Aaronic order was only one of what? Many sacrifices. Let us note that. That's number one. Let's keep it there. Lord help me. How do I pick it? I'm trying to do some kind of structured teaching. We are used to spontaneous teaching. We just pick things from the spirit. You just pick it. Eventually, we are not grounded. But it's good to tell you where things are in scripture so that when we are not there anymore, you can always be able to talk about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's just one of those things. But when you look at God from the realm of eternity, from where this whole episode started, I mean creation. The Bible always makes reference to something called the foundation of the world. The foundation of the world. So what I came here to tell you this morning is that your priesthood is older than sin. Please, Let me start from where I'm going. I'm going there, but I think it's easier for you to start from there to tell you that the priesthood that you are preaching is older than what? Than sin. Praise God. I don't know if you are getting a picture of what I'm trying to say. The priesthood that we are preaching, the Aaronic order came after sin. The Bible says that death reigned from where? From Adam until Moses, and then God brought forth that law. That law is not as old as sin. And that is why that law could not handle sin. Sin was older than that covenant. Sin was older than the Aaronic covenant. And that was why the Aaronic covenant could not deal with it. The Aaronic covenant could only cover it for maximum of 1 year. You have to come and do a renewal. But we have a priesthood here that is older than sin. John chapter 9. Let's pick this thing from the Gospels. John chapter 9. Please, let us follow this thing with our mind. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. Verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. Now, long before now, I had always thought that God created that man that way, so that the glory of God can be manifested in him. Alright? But I also read scripture. The Bible says that everything that God created was what? Was good. God never created a man without eyes. God does not create imperfections. Are we together? It is consistent with scripture. God does not create imperfections. A perfect God will not create a man. Was it that he forgot to put eyes? Or that he intentionally did not put eyes? I don't think that is the case. If you look at it, Jesus said that the man had not sinned. His parents did not sin. But that the glory of God should what? Be made manifest in him. We know that sin is of two dimensions. Sin is an act and sin is also a nature. We know that before now. If you did not know it, know it. Sin can be an act and sin is also a concept. Sin is a nature. Alright, so when Jesus was saying that it was not this man or his parents that sinned, Jesus was saying it was not a direct consequence of what they did. But we know that every evil thing is an offshoot of sin. Do we know that? Sickness came from sin. God did not create sickness. Sickness came from sin. Diseases originated because man, what? Man sinned. Not just because man sinned, because Satan sinned. We are going to get there. That was the first sin. So when Jesus was saying that, John 8:44, let me read this first, then we go to John 8:44. He said, Jesus was saying it is not a direct consequence. That is why when people go through things, most of the things they go through may actually not be a direct consequence of what they did. But we know that sin is an operation in the earth. And many things have received their shape and form because sin is finding itself walking among the sons of men. Are we together? So what Jesus was saying is that in the eternity past, this man's case, no wonder the Bible says that was why the Son of God was manifested, that in my word, he might destroy the works of the devil. So when God dealing with sin in your life, he's actually making the works, his works manifest in your life. So what Jesus was saying was that, yes, this man was born without eyes. We know that God will not create a man without eyes, but God is manifesting his works through him. In other words, God is dealing not just with sin, but God is dealing with the roots of it. We know that even before now, before Jesus came to the cross, he was able to forgive sins. Are we together? That story of that man in Luke chapter 5, let's quickly see it. I'm saying this so that you can understand that sin is not your biggest problem. Are we together? And it came to pass as people pressed upon to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Let's go on. And saw two ships. Is that where? Okay, go to verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. 18. And behold, men brought in the bed a man which was taken in a palsy. Another account told us that they were his friends. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are what? Are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your heart? 23. Whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven, or to say rise up and what and walk. 24. But that they may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to what? To forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, pick up thy couch, and go into thy house. So we understand that Jesus is not even need to go to the cross to forgive sins.
Okay.
People are looking at me as if I'm saying something. He didn't need to go to the cross. He forgave just by proclamation, just by saying. He forgave sins. But he also knew that sin was not just what you have done. Sin is a nature, it has a root. That was what he went to do at the cross. That was what he went to do at the cross. People who got forgiveness of sins by John dipping them inside water now. Have you forgotten? That by John dipping people inside water, they repented of their sins. And God accepted them at that level. Are we together? We saw the call that when God met with Isaiah, an angel took a coal from the fire, from the fire burning on the altar, and cleansed his mouth. That was a level two. Okay? But Jesus needed to go and deal with what? The root cause that had to do with what Adam committed in the garden. Now, we often think that the first sin was actually Adam's sin. True, in the race of men. But let's see John 8:44. Ye have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, what you call the beginning, Satan did not fall the very day God created him. I don't know for how many years he was with the Lord. I don't know for how many years he was before God, but we know from the law and the prophets, from Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28, we know that man was on the mountain of God. Like, he was not a man, that spirit was on the mountain of God. The Bible calls him the cherub that covereth. We know that he didn't fall the day he was created. He served God. I don't know. There was no time. There was no clock. No wristwatch. So we can't say this is a number of years. It's not right. Because in that realm, they don't count years. Are we together? It's far different from what we have. But Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning. So what is the beginning, actually? What exactly is the beginning? He sinned from the beginning. Then what is the beginning? Since we know that he had a track record that he was perfect until iniquity was found in him. So what is the beginning? Hallelujah. It means that the beginning was not an instant of time. That season, until something happened and things turned upside down, was called the beginning. It means that if what he did was not done, if Adam did not fall, we would still be in the beginning. That is the meaning.
Because God is, the Bible calls him the beginning and the ending. So it's a cycle that never ends. Did you get that? It's the beginning. When you go around and you come back, you see the one you meet. You go around and you come back, you see the one you meet. We are supposed to still be where? In the beginning. The beginning was a length of a space of time in God. But let's now go to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 26 for you to now see something. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. I didn't know how to put this together. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, you can now see there's a separation right now. And there was something that caused this. It was sin. Sin brought this about. But now, once in the end of the world, had he appeared. It means that beginning from when he appeared till now. And that's when we say end time, end time. End time is not next year. It started since he appeared. Alright? But now, once in the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Listen to me. He dealt with sin before you ever came to the sin. Hallelujah. Before you and I ever came to the sin, he did what? See, the New Testament did not kickstart the Melchizedek priesthood. The Melchizedek priesthood did not start in the New Testament. The New Testament only brought it to us. Bible says that he has brought light. He has brought life and immortality to where? To light. He only brought it into time. That was what Jesus came to do. That priesthood did not start because Jesus died and resurrected. But that priesthood needed a high priest. And that was one way God could raise one. Melchizedek had been, do you know how many years ago that man appeared to? So I'm not here to talk about who he is. Some people said he's he's Enoch. Some people said he's anything. I'm not here to talk about that one. But I'm saying that priesthood had what? Had been. Alright? And thank God for David that was able to see in the spirit. And David said, you know, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your foes. And he says in another place, he swore by an oath. He said, thou art a priest forever. In the order. So that priesthood did not start when Christ died and resurrected. It had been. And that was why I said that even Jesus could forgive sins without going to the cross. He could. What he did was to bring life and immortality to light, so that you and I can have access into that thing. Alright? And so, this will take me to Hebrews 7:16. Let's see. Okay. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but what? After the power of a what? Of an endless life. The endless life had been. The life of God had been. He had been existing. So when Paul was writing about Melchizedek in chapter, is it the same chapter 7, I think? Let's go back to verse 1. Okay, for it testifies. Let's go back to verse 1. Oh, yeah. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and what, and blessed him. Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is what? Which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but what? Made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest. He had been abiding a priest. Alright? He will continue to what? To abide a priest. But for you to enter that priesthood, somebody needed to pave the way. And that's why I say sin is the smallest of our problems. Before we ever came to the sin, he took care of sin. And that made me to go into scriptures and go find that word from the foundation of the world. And I found that it was used two different types. Let us both look into it together. Okay? Let's see, let's go to 1 Peter 1:20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Please, if you have a pen, go back. If you have a pen, please, let's categorize the scriptures together. Hallelujah. That's who was foreordained the foundation of world, but manifested in last days. See Ephesians 1:4. Underline the word 4. Ephesians 1:4. According as he had chosen in us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. John 17:24. Jesus made this statement. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before where? The foundation of the world. Praise God. These young men are distracting me. I'm not a good organized teacher. Alright. So let's go back to Hebrews 9:26 that we read earlier. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. See John 8:44. We have read John 8:44 earlier, but let's read John 8:44 again. Ye have your father the devil, blah, 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 blah. What I want to pick there is he was a murderer from the what? From the beginning. What we've been reading before was before the foundation. But you now see the two words from and since beginning to appear. He was a murderer from the beginning, not before the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning, not before the beginning. All right. Let's see Matthew 13:35. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret. From where? Not before the foundation of the world, or before the beginning. Let us go on. What of Matthew 25:34? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Not even before the foundation of the world. Let's go on. I have a load of scriptures. Luke 11:50. Sister Amurenike, well done. You are doing a good job. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed, from where? Listen to me. It means certain bloods were shed. While Lucifer was taking those guys away, he was killing them. What do you think he was murdering? When the Bible says he was a murderer, who do you think he was murdering? He was killing those guys he took along. Yes, he was killing. We understand that he took one third. Alright? It was not that he killed human beings. The prophets, I don't know, which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Let us go on again to Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from where? From the foundation of the world. We read it that God had ordained him before the foundation of the world, but he was slain. We used to, among before now, we say he was slain from before the foundation of the world. The Bible did not write it that way. He was not slain before the foundation. This place says that he was slain from the foundation, not before the foundation. Let's understand. Revelation 17:8. Forgive me for reading too many scriptures. The beast that thou sawest and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, from even the book of life. Do you know that God did not create hell for man? Do we know that fact? Do all of us understand? Jesus said that hell was, that fire was created for who? For the devil and his what? And his angels. It was not part of the plan from before the foundation. Now, the sin that that man committed, sorry, I keep calling him that man, that spirit, because Satan was never man, praise God. How was he ever man? He was never man. That spirit. I don't want to see that guy. I don't want to also respect him. Praise God. But let's put him in his place. We know that he's not an idiot like we used to think. Praise the Lord. The beast that thou sawest, even the, that is the, that was what the sin that man committed from the foundation was so bad. God needed to develop a book to write the names of the good people and the rot and the bad people. That was not a plan. He says whose names were not written in the book of life. From where? From the foundation. It was written from the foundation, not before the foundation. But if you read that Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, it says we had been preordained in him. Before when? See, you are older than sin. That was what I came to tell you this morning. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him, not from the foundation of the world, but from where? Before. Before the foundations, that we should be what? Holy and what? And without blame before him. Where? See, Jesus took care of it. That area had been taken care of. We do not have a high priest that is so weak that he will have to come every year and then first make sacrifice for his own sins and then before he has time for you. He doesn't do that. He took care of it what? Once and what? Once and for all. And that is why if there's anybody here, the devil is keeping you under lock and key. And you have sin holding you down. And certain things are not making you progress with God. So I came to tell you that you are older than that thing that is holding you. God that conceived you before the devil conceived sin in the first place. God that conceived you. So you are not an aftermath. That's why I'm telling you that your priesthood was not, God did not raise that priesthood because you sinned. That was not why God raised the Melchizedek. He did not raise the priesthood because man sinned. Not because Adam sinned. God, that priesthood, Pastor said yesterday, but before you can stand before God, you must be a what? You must be a priest. That priesthood had been there. It existed. Alright? It existed. But it was only because of you. You know why I also know? If you look at all the men in the Old Testament that saw heaven and saw God on his throne. Isaiah, Ezekiel, who again? Abraham, but even though Abraham did not have, there was no record of Abraham seeing the configuration and arrangement of heaven, but Isaiah and Jeremiah saw. They talked about the Father, they talked about the Spirit, but they never talked about the Word. Did you notice that? They didn't see the word. Ezekiel wrote so much about the spirit of those beings being in the wheel and all that. They saw by the spirit. They knew that there was something called spirit. Okay? They knew. Even Daniel saw too. Daniel said he saw the Ancient of Days sat on his throne, and he made a proclamation and said, let the judgment begin. They did not see the word. The word proceeded from the Father, but by the time he was coming back, because of you, they gave him a seat beside God. He was no longer going to enter inside anymore. Of course, we know that he had been. Proverbs 16 tells us that he said he brought me forth as the first of all his works. We know that the word had been with the Father from before the foundation of the world, but none of those prophets saw or knew. Thank God for men like John that now came and told us that in the beginning the word was there. Isaiah may not have seen him. Ezekiel may not have seen him, but from the beginning the word was there. But because he was not representing man, he probably just stayed inside. But when he came and he was going to come back, they needed to what? He didn't have to come back. He said, sit at my right hand. Do you understand? He will not go in again. He will see, because he is representing man. And that is the only way man could have gained access into divinity. If he was not sitting beside God, you and I can't gain access. And that's why I'm telling you that that priesthood had been there. See, you can break free from many habits, from anything the devil has set against you. You can. You can. See, this is understanding. Pastor was telling us a testimony that a man of God was just reading scriptures, and he got to that place in Romans 6 where he said, and the sin shall no longer have dominion over you, and something broke. Most times we languish under these things because we could see understanding. There's no understanding. Thank you. How many minutes? 10 minutes left. I'm even rounding up. You know I'm not a long talker. Praise the Lord. I'm not a long talker. All right. He did it for you. Romans chapter 6. Let's end on that note. Let's end on that note. Let us recite our victory over sin. Like I said, it is only one part of this whole priesthood. Don't think this priesthood is all about sin. Sin is not that too much important. That the whole Melchizedek priesthood will just be about. We read that to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So we have gifts. Alright? And we have what? Sacrifices for what? For sins. Orator. So don't just think, and that people just think that because they are born again, I have the life of God. That is just one part. Bible says that if his life reconciled us to God, if his death reconciled us to God, what do you think his life will do to us? So most people just get to know about his death and their reconciliation, and they do not know that after coming to that life, there is still more. Yoruba says that after six, what is after six is more than what? You have eight, you have nine, you have ten, you have 1 million. You have, according to mathematics, you even have infinity. So it's only his death. It's just one side of this whole thing. There's something about it that his life is going to do to you. You are going to have life, and you are going to have it abundantly. So please, if you are still struggling at that point with sin, and it's just the death, that is just one side. There's more in store for you. Hallelujah. And then don't just stop there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the what? In the likeness of his resurrection. Now, before I leave this place, the only way the Melchizedek priesthood makes meaning to you and I was for somebody to come and take up our nature. That was why he came. Not because he wanted to kickstart that priesthood. Are we together? He was not kickstarting it. He just needed to. Hebrews 5 says that every high priest chosen from among men to represent men in the things that pertain to who? As long as he was not chosen from among us, that priesthood makes no sense to you. It does not apply to you. Somebody had to be taken from among you to represent you in that what? In that priesthood. And that's why you find some other priesthood like that of the Rechabites, where God said that none of this family line will not lack one person to what? To stand. There must be an initiator. That was what Paul meant when he said there must be a testator. Are we together? There must be an initiator. There is no priesthood that happens without somebody. In fact, there is no satanic covenant that happens without somebody first what? Initiating it. As a matter of fact, when people go into serious, evil, dark covenants, they give their lives. Go and check it. In fact, evil covenants that last over generations, in a way, has to do with what? Blood and what? And life. Somebody dies. Any covenant you make and somebody did not die, you can easily topple it. But when, do you know why demons, do you know the fastest way to allow demons enter a space is to kill a human life? Are we together? Two things, fornication and what? And murder. Start killing people around this Akure now. You will see the kind of demons. Look at that man now that sacrificed his son over defense. Bible says there was great indignation. Whether it was God that brought, whether it was demons so, or God, or it was Israel that was fighting themselves. One way or the other, the death of that young man gave birth to something. So there's no way human life will go and certain things will not begin to what? To happen. Even in the Old Testament, God said that a land where they kill innocent blood, what did he even say will be happening in that land? It's there. It's in the law. I can't remember the exact phrase that was used there. A land where innocent blood are killed. Certain things go on around there. For if he has been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of the resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. To serve sin means to be a servant. You can still make errors on your path to becoming strong. Do you know what it means to serve? It means that you are a perpetual. And people misinterpret this scripture. You have the nature of God. I am not denying that. But Paul was learned. So if Paul used the word that he should not serve sin, he knows what is what he's saying. Jesus said that whosoever you give yourself to obey, you are his what? You are servant. So Paul was carefully choosing his word. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from what? From sin. Verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9. I'm rounding up. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more, death has no dominion over him. Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. 11. Likewise, reckon also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your what? In your mortal body, that ye should what? Obey it in the laws thereof. And this place is beginning to tell us about responsibilities. See, what we need is understanding. Is understanding that where this grace wherein you stand is far older than sin. It's far older before the initiator of sin, Lucifer, before he came forth with his joker. God had already, you know, done all that. And then at that point, I want to guess that it was at that point the Lamb of God was slain. I want to guess that it was at that point that the Lamb of God was what? Was slain. Because you know, while Adam was in the garden, sin, the devil was around. Sin was going to infiltrate. So God saw all that, and God made a what? God made a provision. Not even before, because before he didn't need it. But from the foundation of the world, God made that plan. And please, wherever you are this morning, and you have issues and you are struggling and all that, please realize that. Sin is not your problem. It's a problem, but it's not your problem. If you can log into what Christ has done. done for you, you find yourself living over sin and having victory over sin. Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you glory. We give you praise. Thank you for this understanding that you brought to us this morning. I pray for as many as have issues, for as many as have habits, for as many as have things wrong with them, and you know they've struggled, they've tried, they've spoken to people, and yet these things are still holding them down. I declare and decree that according to what Christ did and according to the sacrifice that has been done in his blood, you are free in the name of Jesus. The Lord sets you free in the name of Jesus. You are leaving this place this morning victorious in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.